Acts chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 1 through 12. Acts 17, verses 1 through 12. Title of the message is Tale of Two Cities. Now, there was a Charles Dickens novel by that name, Tale of Two Cities. It was about during the French Revolution, about the cities of Paris and London. That's not the cities we're talking about. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus." And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. Tale of two cities, Thessalonica and Berea. The contrast between these two cities and how they responded to the gospel. A little bit of the background here. The Apostle Paul and Silas and others with them are on Paul's second missionary journey. They started from the Syrian city of Antioch, went through many different cities and regions. In fact, Paul, on this missionary journey, preached in 21 different cities or regions before he finally ended the journey back to Jerusalem. The New Testament letters of Galatians and Philippians and Thessalonians and Corinthians and Ephesians were some of the cities and regions that Paul went to. So we have letters that he wrote to these churches in our New Testament. So we can see the details of what happened there and what he was teaching there a little bit more clearly. On this missionary journey, right before they went to Thessalonica, they had been in Philippi. By the way, Philippi was the first city in Europe where the gospel of Jesus Christ came. Paul was there ministering in Asia Minor. In that region, he had a vision from the Lord and said, "Come on over to Macedonia." And he went to Philippi and preached the gospel there. And one of the events that happened there in Philippi was Paul cast out an evil spirit out of a slave girl. And this girl had a capacity, because of this demon that lived in her, to do some fortune telling. And her slave owners made money off of her. And when the spirit had been cast out, they were upset. You take money away from people and their livelihood away from them, they don't like it very well. And so they caused an uproar there in Philippi, and Paul and Silas ended up being imprisoned there. But did they get down in the dumps and depressed and discouraged because of what happened to them? No. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 16 that they were singing hymns to God at midnight and the other prisoners were listening to them, and that there was a great earthquake, and the doors of the prison came open. And they ended up leading the jailer, the Philippian jailer, and his whole household to become Christians, to accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were always facing opposition. They were facing persecution wherever they went. They faced a fierce opposition, as we saw in this passage that we read in Acts 17 in Thessalonica. Some of the Jews there did not believe in Jesus. They refused to accept the message of Paul, and they incited a riot, stirred up the whole city, and blamed it on Paul and Silas. Did you notice there that it said these men who have turned the whole world upside down have come here too? And so they began to spread these false accusations about they're here to do who knows what, to cause trouble. They're troublemakers. We need to get rid of them. That was their idea. Aren't you thankful today that God, you might say, instead of turning the world upside down, He turns the world right side up? Because the world and our lives before Christ were upside down. And then He turns us around and gives us new meaning, new purpose in life. So they were constantly being persecuted. There in Thessalonica, they were run out of town, but the foundations of a church were laid, and other people there would carry on that work, and therefore we have the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians letters in our New Testament to learn what happened there. Despite persecution, the gospel continued to spread and the church continued to grow. Whenever they were run out of one city, they went to another. Jesus had told them in Matthew 10, He says, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. And that's exactly what Paul and Silas were doing. They were persecuted and blamed for causing trouble in Thessalonica, so they didn't go home. They went to the next town. You see, the devil thought that by persecuting them, persecuting the apostles and other believers in Christ, if I just persecute them and bring trouble against them, it will stop the progress of the gospel. I'll be able to put it out, to make a stop to it. But the more that they were persecuted, the more the gospel spread. It made it spread that much quicker. You may be familiar with in Acts chapter 6 and 7, where you read a story about a man named Stephen, who was a man full of the Holy Spirit, and great wonders were done by his hand, but there were people who were jealous of him, and they brought false accusations against him. And as a result of their false accusations and Stephen's preaching the gospel to them, they were furious, cut to their heart, and they began to stone him. And he was stoned to death. And right after that, in Acts chapter 8, it says that after Stephen's stoning, that great persecution arose against the church, and the disciples were scattered. But everywhere they went, the Bible says that those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. You just couldn't stop it. The devil could not put the fire out of these people who were on fire for the cause of Christ. So in Acts chapter 17 that we read there in verse 10, it says that after this uprising and this rioting in the town of Thessalonica, it says, the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. Notice that the new believers there, they were concerned about Paul and Silas's well-being and their health and their safety. Paul and Silas no doubt would have stayed there and continued preaching. They would have weathered the storm, but these disciples, these new believers in Christ, didn't want to put their lives at risk, so they sent them away. But note also the perseverance of Paul and Silas in their work. They fled from Thessalonica, but they did not flee from the service of Christ. When they came to Berea, they didn't hide, but they went into the synagogue of the Jews, and they began to preach the gospel there to anybody who would listen. It didn't matter. The Jews at Thessalonica had been their enemies, And who knew? Maybe the Jews at Berea would be their enemies also, but they went into the synagogue and began to preach Jesus anyway. You see, if others will not be good to us, we still must be good to them. Even if people are mean to us, we still need to be nice to them. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Not as they do to you, but as they should do to you, you do to them. And that's what Paul and Silas did here. They were being mistreated. They didn't know how they would be treated in Berea, but they did good to them by preaching Christ, preaching freedom from sin, deliverance from sin through the gospel of Christ. Now, verse 11 that we read there says that the Bereans were more fair-minded than the Thessalonians. Other translations use the word noble. I want to look at three ways that the Bereans were more fair-minded, or ways that they were more noble than the Thessalonians. Number one, it says there that they received the word with all readiness. They received it. They were eager. You see, they were teachable. They realized that they didn't know all the answers. They didn't have it all in their head. They hadn't figured it all out, and they were still teachable. May we never get to the point where we feel like we know it all. You know, the old saying is, those who think they know it all really annoy those of us who do. May you never feel like you are not teachable and can't learn anything. We can learn from each other. We can learn from anybody. So the Bereans were teachable. They did not shut their eyes against the light. They did not plug their ears. They didn't bury their head in the sand like an ostrich and say, "I refuse to hear." They were open. They were willing to listen. And so what happened? In Acts chapter 16, the Bible talks about a woman named Lydia that was open to receiving the gospel as well. And it says there that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And that's what happened with the Bereans. The Lord opened their heart. Reminds me of the parable of the sower that Jesus talked about. In Luke chapter 8, he says, "The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." So do we have an open heart? Are we teachable? Are we ready to receive something new from the Lord? Or are we closed-minded? We have it all figured out. We know it all. See, the Bereans didn't resist the word. They didn't find fault with the preacher. They didn't say that they're troublemakers and have come to turn the world upside down. They listened. They welcomed the word, even though it was new to them. The Jews at Berea were steeped in the traditions of the law in the Old Testament, just like any other Jews, but they listened openly with open minds and open hearts, even though it was new to them. You see, the Jews of Thessalonica, I believe, were proud of their heritage. They were proud that they were Abraham's seed. And they didn't need anybody to teach them anything. They were closed-minded. They were like those that Jesus ministered to in John. It says that the Jews there said, "We are children of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone." Jesus said, "Whoever sins is a slave to sin." They said, "Hey, we're Abraham's seed. We're Abraham's descendants. We've never been enslaved to anyone." And I believe that's what the Jews of Thessalonica were like. They were not open to the truth of the gospel like the Bereans. The most noble men are those that are humble and those that are teachable. I ain't got it all figured out. I still can learn something new. Can you? The Bereans were teachable. So the question is, are you teachable? Do you welcome new truth from God's word? I believe we can read the same passage that we've read a dozen times. And the 13th time, we may get something new out of it. We may see something that we never saw that way before. God will reveal something to us. He will remove the scales from our eyes, and we will see it in a deeper meaning, deeper truths. And our faith will grow. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Do you welcome the opportunity to learn more about the Bible? We learn so much about so many other things that in the end don't even matter. How much more should we devote ourselves to what Jesus has said, to what God has revealed to us, what He requires of us? May I encourage you, as I mentioned at the beginning of this service, take advantage of Sunday school. Engage with others. The Bible says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We learn, we grow, we put roots down deeper. When you are challenged by the Word, you all have heard this saying if you've been in church very long, man, that preacher stepped on my toes today. How do you react when that happens? Do you find fault with the preacher? Do you have fried preacher for lunch instead of fried chicken? Or do you say, Lord, teach me? If it hits a nerve, maybe the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. Or do you try to find reasons why that doesn't apply to you? Oh, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. Are we teachable? My prayer is that you will receive the Word like the Bereans, with all readiness, receive the Word. The second reason that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians was they searched the Scriptures daily. They checked to see if what Paul said was true. Did you see that? Let me read that again. Verse 11, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica in that they received the Word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Is that Paul telling us the truth? I've never heard preaching like that. Is he telling us the truth? And they searched the Scriptures. What Scriptures did they have? They had 39 books of the Old Testament, the same books that we've got. They searched the Scriptures. You see, being teachable does not mean that we take things blindly, that we just accept, oh, well, the preacher said it, therefore it must be true. We need to find out for ourselves. Ronald Reagan, in his presidency, I believe, coined this phrase. I don't know if it was original with him or not, but he had made treaties with other people, and they said, well, how do you know that they're doing what they said they would do? He says, well, I believe in trust, but verify. They trusted what Paul was saying, but they verified what Paul was saying. They looked into it themselves. You see, Paul reasoned out of the Scriptures and referred them to the Old Testament for proof. He had done this with the Thessalonians. Look at verse 2 and 3 again. Says, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. He used the Old Testament Scriptures that they had to prove that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He is God's anointed one. He's the one that they were expecting. Jesus said in John chapter 5, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Jesus said the Scriptures testify about him. The Thessalonian Jews turned to their traditions and rejected Paul. But the Bereans turned to their Bibles with an open mind. They checked to see if these things were so. They read the context of the Old Testament Scriptures. They compared them with other places of Scripture. By the way, that's the way you understand Scripture. Scripture is by Scripture interpreted. That's how you know. That's how you corroborate something that's said in one book with something that's said in another book. You understand it deeper by comparing Scripture with Scripture. And so that's what they did. They read the context, compared it with other places of Scripture. They questioned whether Paul's arguments and conclusions were correct and they accepted their truth as their study revealed it to them and the Holy Spirit opened their eyes. They accepted it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not afraid of people who are truth seekers, people who are skeptical, people who are doubters. I don't believe it. Well, check into it. Jesus is not afraid of us checking into it, verifying, trust but verify. And that's what the Bereans did. Preachers want people to check it out for themselves. They do. If they're honest, they don't want to just force feed you and just take my word for it and live it. I want you to go home and search the scriptures. Verify the truth of what you hear. I welcome questions and discussions about scripture. Ask. You're wondering about something, ask. You see, the New Testament is to be examined by the Old Testament. An old-time preacher, one of my favorites, used to say, the Old Testament is the New Testament contained, and the New Testament is the Old Testament explained. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Jesus is in the Old Testament. He's in there from beginning to end. And we see the fulfillment, we see it more clearly as things were revealed and were fulfilled in the New Testament. Compare Scripture with Scripture. You see, the Jews, both in Thessalonica and Berea, had received the Old Testament. The Old Testament by this time was already well established. The books that consisted or that made up the Old Testament was widely accepted. There was a Greek translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint that was available, that was widespread. They accepted and received the Old Testament, and if they were open-minded and honestly seeking, they would receive the New Testament as well. Jesus said as much in John 5. He said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. Moses wrote about Jesus. What did Moses write? The first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the books of Moses. Jesus is in there. Jesus said as much. Moses wrote about me. If you accept Moses, then accept my word, because he was writing about me. Jesus said the scriptures testify about him. Search the scriptures to know him. We don't have anything else to go to except the scriptures to learn about God's will and to learn about Jesus more fully. Jesus himself said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, this is our food. This is what nourishes us. Jesus in John chapter 1 is known as the Word of God made flesh. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the living Word of God. Jesus is called the bread of life. He himself said that. He is the bread of life. And the Word of God is called the bread of life. And just as we need daily food for the body, so we need daily food for the soul. Paul instructed Timothy to study, to show himself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Search the scriptures. Daily. Search them daily, as the Bereans did. Jesus said that we will be judged at the end by the words which He has spoken. Let us learn. Let us take to heart what Jesus has said. Let me encourage you, take advantage of the devotionals that we have out in the foyer. There's a new quarter starts next Sunday, Our Daily Bread. Use that as a starter. Let that get you into the Word every day and its application in your life. So the Bereans were noble because they searched the Scriptures daily. And the third reason they were more noble is that many of them believed. The Jews largely at Thessalonica refused to listen. They rejected it. They didn't want anything to do with it, but the Bereans believed. Many of the Berean Jews believed. At Thessalonica, it says some of the Jews were persuaded, but at Berea, where they heard with open minds, many of them believed. It says several Greeks believed also. Prominent women and a lot of the men, the Greeks, believed in Jesus. What does it mean to believe? I used to think when I was a kid, you know, most of us back in that day in the 70s, I received a little New Testament from the Gideons. They passed them out in the schools at that time. And the famous verse was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I used to think, man, I believe that. I must be saved. I must be a Christian. And just left it at that. But there's more to it. Believing means obeying. Believing means putting the word into practice in our lives, living it out. Don't just talk, but walk. Believing is more than just intellectual knowledge. It is application. James, the book of James says, let us not be only hearers of God's word, but let us be doers of God's word. Jesus said, if we hear the word and don't put it into practice, we're like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. If we hear it but don't do it, we're foolish. But, he said, he that hears the word and does what it says, puts it into practice, is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the storms of life can't tear down that house, for it's founded on a rock. Apply, believe, and apply it into your life. So what do you do with new truth from God's word? You reject it, or do you receive it? Jesus told a parable about the talents. Basically, this is money. A master gave his servants some money. They called it talents. It says that he gave one 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1. And he went away for a while. When he came back, the one who received 5 talents made 5 more, said, and Jesus said, well done, good and faithful servant. The one who received 2 made 2 more. Job well done. But what about the one who had 1 talent? He buried it in the ground. He did not apply it. He did not put it to use. And he was condemned for not putting that to use. And in the same way, we must receive the word with all readiness, search the scriptures daily, trust but verify, and believe it and live it. You see, it's like following a flashlight in the dark. We've been camping a couple of times this year, and in some campgrounds especially, there's not very much light, you know, street lights. And when you go from one place in the campground to another one, especially if you're going through some trees, you better have a flashlight or you're going to be running into something. I mean, it's pitch dark. But that flashlight just shines so far, doesn't it? If you can't see all the way, some may say, well, I can't see all the way, therefore I'm not going. But the flashlight shines so far, and if you walk in that light, it shines a little farther. If you walk in that light, you can still see. It's the same with the headlights on our car, right? We can't see miles away, but it shines the path far enough that we can drive in that light. And then it shines a little farther and we drive in that light. And it's like the Word of God, light that God gives to us. If we walk in that light, He will give us more light. If we refuse to walk in that light, then we're not going to receive any more. Put it into practice. And guess what? As we follow Christ, others are drawn into the journey as well. Many Greeks, prominent women and men, believed because of what they saw in these Berean Jews. So the Bereans, I believe, were a preacher's joy. preacher loves when people dig into the Word, search the Scriptures daily, trust but verify, check to see if the things that you're hearing are so. And the Bereans were noble in God's sight as well. Do you want to be noble in God's sight? Receive the Word with all readiness. Search the Scriptures daily. Believe it and live it. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for these Berean Jews and the Greeks that believe there as well. Father, I think of how the church was persecuted there and were scattered all over the place. And I think of Philip. He went down to Samaria and he preached Christ there, and many people came to the Lord. And then he was led by the Spirit down into Gaza, which is desert, but he met one man there from Africa, and he led him to Christ. And that introduced the gospel to the continent of Africa. So God, I just pray that you will help us to realize that we are one link in a chain, that we receive the Word and we pass it on. And that great chain of faith, which has been in existence since Jesus was here, Lord, may we continue that. May we receive the Word, may we search the Scriptures daily, and may we live it out. I pray that you would draw somebody to an altar of prayer, whatever their need is, God. May your Holy Spirit draw them, that they would come and call upon the name of the Lord. If they need salvation, Lord, you're ready to save. Whatever their need is, God, we invite them, your Spirit invites them, and we pray that they would respond as you lead them. In Jesus' name, amen.